the Matt Bubala Show here on Radio 720 WGN. Our old friend, the Darty Joel Stein, joins us on the phone. Hey, Joel, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. You're busy working for a lot of people these days. Let's talk about Time Magazine first, because this is the awesome column that you do for Time Magazine. And you talked about something I think near and dear to both of our hearts as we become very old middle-aged men, and that is teenagers and dancing.
Yes. How do you feel about them?
Well, you know, we have a son who is a 14-year-old freshman in high school.
Oh, my God. I had no idea. Okay, so this is real for you.
Yeah, so this is. And, it, you know, and the funny thing is, Joel, is and your kids are younger, so you still got a little ways to go here, but you don't really feel that old until you realize that, I don't know, it's like, you know, like I could still see myself out dancing at a club and things like that, but now I have a child who is going to dances, and that really hits home that my time has completely passed me by, and I can't do any of these things anymore because it's not the same.
Yeah, your replacement has arrived.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's true. We've found our replacements, and they're phasing us out now.
And, yeah.
But you found, and this is interesting to me because, well, frankly, Joel, per court
everything
order.
Everything I do is interesting to you, I believe.
That's true. That's true. But per court order, I cannot attend any teenage dances, so I don't. So I don't know what's really going on there. And you have found that kids do not slow dance at dances anymore at all.
Yeah, and we are late to this information because we are old and things reach us very late because we don't know how to use Snapchat.
Has this been going on for
quite some time. I think over the summer I found out about it, and I found out late. And, you know, all the reporting and the investigation I had to do caused it to come out now. But, yeah, I met a DJ, and he's like, yeah, I do bar mitzvahs, I do proms, I do, all kinds of things with kids. And none of them are slow dancing. And then I found out, like, if you're under, like, 30, your wedding doesn't even have slow dancing anymore.
That's impossible. See, God, this is so sad, Joel, because this is how long it's been since I've been to a real wedding or anything like that.
Me too.
You know, we're at this age now where until our kids and their friends start getting married, then we're out on the corner. We're not getting to go to any of this. So even at weddings of 20, 25, 30-year-olds.
Unless the parents are paying for it and demand it, I'm told.
I imagine that probably
hasn't changed
as much. And it
clears the dance floor. Like, apparently, if you were a DJ and no one was dancing, you played a slow song, sucked everyone in, made them comfortable, and then pumped up the jams. Nowadays, like, a slow song just clears the floor.
How crazy is that, Joel? Because when I was a young kid, we stood on the side until a slow song came on, right? And then we tried to go ask your girl to dance. But the fast songs, I wouldn't dare dance to because it's embarrassing.
No.
And now even boys.
No, and there's no more asking a girl to dance. Like, there's no, that's too scary. No one's doing that. That's horrifying. So instead, they just kind of play a slow song and they vaguely grind against each other in larger groups, which doesn't require any asking or intimacy.
That does sound worse, though, than what, as a parent, I don't really love the idea of that, because that sounds like...
But I heard it's only in the center. When I talked to a girl for the story who's running her prom, and she says, because there's so much chaperoning, because kids are never allowed on their own anymore at all, it's only in the white-hot center where the parents can't see that there's some grinding going on. And it doesn't even sound, you know,
in the white-hot center, so like in the middle of the black hole where it can't be
seen. Yeah, where the parents can't quite see.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's scary, Joel. So do we take this, how do you perceive this generation of kids, and even sounds like adults up until, you know, just younger than us, who have foregone, so, you know, does it mean that we
were... Are you crying?
No, I'm really trying to grasp all this, Joel. Does it mean that we were more intimate than people are now, or we were more scared of real dancing, so we just waited for the slow dance, and now they have less inhibitions, or are they more scared of the
intimacy?
No,
we were still stuck in, like, 18th century Vienna, you know, where we were doing this really awkward waltzy thing with a girl on our arm, either around their waist, or, I mean, we looked ridiculous, right? Like, what century were we in?
Right.
But, yeah, kids do not do that anymore, and my guess is that, in general, the next generation is going to be more like the Japanese 20 and 30-something kids, you know, adults today, where, like, there's an enormous amount of 30-something Japanese people who are virgins and who still live at their parents' place and, you know, are just online and playing video games all the time.
And so that's not, they're dorks. Like, in our day, we were dorks, and so we were virgins. That's more like just lifestyle changes and choices, not like they can't get to that point. It's more, they're not trying to get to that point as much as we were.
I don't know. I don't know what the causes are. I don't know if it's a choice or if it's wealth inequality or if it's technology that allows them to be social on their own, or the fact that, you know, none of them are driving anymore either. Like, a third of people under 30 don't have a driver's license, I believe.
In the U.S. Or in Japan?
Here. Some of those numbers they gave you are wrong. But the general idea is right.
The numbers maybe nowhere near, but the people aren't driving. That's what we're getting at.
Yeah. People aren't getting their license anymore.
And that's because people are living more in this. I imagine some of that's got
to
be people.
Some of it's urbanization. Yeah. Some of it's Uber. Some of it's just like, why do I need to go out when I can text people here? There's a lot of that. Who knows?
So would we say that this generation, and you and I are just completely delving in generalities here with no scientific knowledge to back us up, I'm sure. But
that's what I do.
So would we say that this group is a little more antisocial? I mean, they're probably more social than you and I were, but they're
less lonely than you and I were, that's for sure, because they're, you know, their phone's always around.
They're in touch with people all the time, but they're never actually seeing people, touching people, talking to people in person, things like that. So how would you describe that then, Joel? Is that, well, they're more social, or boy, they're more awkward, or they're not, you know, there's a lot of concern that these kids and younger people are going to have trouble in the workplace and things like that because they haven't developed these social skills that you and I had no choice, because we're going to dances and bar mitzvahs and things like that when we were kids and we had no choice. But
I don't know. I know I spent a lot of time as a tween and a teenager, as did my parents, on the telephone, which is also weird, right? Like, I was just in my room on my, like, Snoopy phone trying to talk to girls for hours at a time. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that wasn't healthy either. I know things are changing.
Yeah.
I don't know the consequences.
I imagine our parents were sitting around having this conversation going, boy, those kids never see each other anymore. All they do is sit there and talk on the phone. And
I don't think our parents were, because no? I think, and I'm basing this solely on Bye Bye Birdie, that that's what they were doing too. But I bet their parents were freaked out.
Okay. That's possible.
We didn't get to see that.
Yeah. No, we didn't. And that's okay by me. You know, I did an interview, Joel, it's been well over a year now, with a sexual researcher on young kids and adolescents. And she was talking, because there's a lot of concern about what goes on at parties these days, and is oral sex as common as kissing? You hear things like that once in a while.
No, it's not. I used to be jealous of kids today. I don't think anything about it.
That's what she said. She said this generation is not like that. It's surprising. Like, that's kind
no,
of
less sex and drugs.
Yeah, she said a lot less, and she said, and I think you'll be proud of this, Joel, that our generation, yours and mine, was probably our sluttiest generation ever.
You think more than the boomers?
Yeah.
Because you picture, Woodstock, you picture just sloppiness.
Okay, but you're talking about 20 to 30-year-olds there. And I was talking about us as 6th, 7th, 8th graders, freshman high school, you know, that age range when we were, you know, at parties.
But you don't think in the you know, late 60s, 70s, those teenagers were just all at it? Like, it just seems like that was the freedom moment.
I don't think so. Well, that...
Really?
That's not the discussion we had. I mean, you're going to have to do more
research
on that.
Well, you know, I was very jealous for a while when things radically changed in both underwear and grooming styles. I was like, oh, my God, these kids, things are better for these kids, you know, and all the porn. Like, it just seems like what a great time to be alive. But then it sort of backfired, it seemed like.
Yes, we missed that whole sexual revolution of grooming and quality of products, haven't we, Joel?
Yeah, but I think that, you know, maybe that hasn't helped. I think that hasn't made a difference, because if you think about Woodstock, you just think – people don't even smell good, right? But they seem to go at it anyway.
It's funny, because when you talk about Woodstock and what happened there, that I don't look at that and go, man, they had it made. I think, oh, that was probably pretty gross. You know, that's like watching really bad porn where they're fat.
Right, and now it's
ugly,
good, but I think it's not. That's preventing them from, you know, the expectations are crazy, and they're able to just do, you know, live at home and not go out. So I think maybe this smelly sloppiness was the key to social interaction.
So that was good.
That's my theory.
Whew. That's an interesting theory, Joel.
Thank you.
Let's go back to a less hygienic Woodstock-like sexual revolution is what you're proposing.
I think it's the only way for our species to continue.
Really? Well,
I think we got rid of the pheromones, and that's thrown everything off.
The pheromones. And do you think then that our generation is going to slow down? Do you think birth rate's really going to fall and things like that, and we're at a dangerous
point? Birth rates are falling in all the industrialized, you know, all the Western industrialized countries, or even the Eastern ones. All the all the first world countries, you know, kids, people are having fewer than two kids per couple.
But that's always
so,
the
yeah,
case.
Birth rates
once...
are way falling.
But,
you know,
but doesn't
you
that go hand in hand?
Third world, and they're growing tremendously, but. Yeah, no, they're definitely shrinking.
But Joel, doesn't that go hand in hand with socioeconomic status? And once you have money, you start having fewer kids. I mean, here within the U.S.,
which is so weird, right?
Right? It is weird. You would think the less you have, the more you're like, well, I'm not going to add another mouth to feed to that. But I think, you know, higher levels of education, and I think once you get money, you want to keep money. When you don't have money, you're like, hell, we don't have money anyways. You know,
I think it's. I don't know. I think it's a bunch of things, and I don't know if it's good.
True. True. All right, let's jump to another topic real quick. You, for Business Week, and I don't think Bernie probably talked too much about these things, but you got to spend some time with Bernie Sanders?
I did, yeah. I wrote a cover about him in Business Week.
And so what's your takeaway? I mean, we only have a few minutes left, and I don't mean to
get all you need.
Bernie the
show. Because he only talks about one thing. He only cares about one thing.
And what is that?
He's not even a person. He's just an idea. And that idea is wealth inequality is destroying this country.
And how is he going to fix that?
He is going to propose like a new deal, like health insurance for everyone, tons of infrastructure, more pensions. He's going to redistribute.
That's not going to get him elected, right? I mean,
that is not going to get him elected. Well, I don't know. It, you know, is not going to get elected is definitely the conventional wisdom and what I would say. But I would also say wealth inequality is making people angry on the left and right. I mean, that's how the Tea Party started, right? The Wall Street bailout. And then you have the Occupy movement. And they're getting these things are getting bigger without even a leader. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's electable, especially coming from the far left, because the far right looks a little differently.
Well, maybe it
but
gets
people are mad.
Maybe Bernie can get through the primary and maybe get into the general.
But no, he can't get through the primary.
He cannot. So well, then he can't get elected if he can't get through the primary, right? I mean,
yeah, he can't get any of those southern states to vote for him.
But they'll vote for Hillary.
He can't get African Americans to vote for him.
Okay.
So, and he can only get a certain very liberal, angry white voter to vote for him. That won't win you the Democratic
that sounds like
election.
A, she that
has
sounds like
all
a Republican
of the unions.
Voter.
She has all the endorsements from actual politicians. I mean, she's got the machine, so that's hard to beat.
So you think there's no way Bernie gets through? Do you think,
I don't know.
Do you think there's any chance they partner up after this and he becomes her VP candidate? No.
She's useless to him.
He's
useless
to
her.
Yeah, because he's not going to help her in the places
she needs
help.
Someone even older than her and more liberal than her. Like, I don't see what he brings to the party. Like, she needs some young kind of conservative-ish Democratic Latino or something.
The shame for Bernie, because if you believe in Bernie's message and you think, boy, I'd like to give that a shot, I think the shame of it is if he could get through the primary, this would have to be the best shot he would ever have at winning a general because – the GOP side is so all over the place right now. I mean, let's face it, if somehow Donald Trump actually gets the nomination, I think Bernie would at least have a shot because there'd be enough people saying...
Well, we'd have a shot against Donald Trump. So
maybe,
I don't know. Yeah,
maybe.
Of course. That's it. But I remember last 8 years ago, I because people were so tired of W and Republicans,
sure.
I was like, unless things radically change, this Democratic primary is the election. And it's tight. I mean, that was a really close election between Hillary and Obama. But, you know, I think either one of them would have won. And in this case, you know, I don't know. It's been 8 years of Democrats, so there's some fatigue, but they still can't pick someone that the rest of the country won't vote for.
It's going to be very interesting, I think. So what's your take on Trump? I know that's not what you wrote about, but Joel, I just want your thoughts on this. I mean, you think that if he somehow wins the primary, there's no way Hillary can lose?
I mean, I'm an inherently conservative person in that I think that change is slow, and whenever a revolution occurs, I will miss it and claim it's not really happening.
Okay.
Of any kind, technological. So I'm not the person to ask, but I just don't. My mind cannot wrap itself around a Trump Republican nomination.
Well, but
it destroys that party. I mean, the party can't let that happen.
I know, but we've been saying that for like 9 months now. I mean, when he was
first
starting.
Nothing started yet. You can say whatever you want.
You're right. You're right.
No one's cast a vote.
Nobody's cast a vote yet. But in a couple of weeks, Joel, they're going to start. And if
Iowa, think about who wins Iowa. Huckabee, Santorum. Who cares who wins? The Republicans in Iowa are crazy.
But I hope you're right.
Doesn't count.
I hope you're right. Crazier things have happened.
No, actually, no. There's been no crazier thing than someone as unqualified as Donald Trump getting a nomination.
Not in the United States, at least.
Not in the United States.
Okay. All right, Joel. I'm gonna hope you're right, sir. I'm really gonna hope you're right, because otherwise we're in big trouble. The Darty Joel Stein, you can read him often in time. How often is the awesome column run? It's not every week.
Every other week, which requires a lot of math.
Are there weeks where they call you up going, Joel, this is a week? You're like, no.
I never remember. Then there's some weeks when they don't put out an issue. It's annoying.
Very confusing. The cover of Business Week and anywhere where people will pay for quality journalism, Joel Stein will be there. Thank you very much for jumping on the phone with us, buddy.
Good talking to you. Good luck with the sun.
Thank you. You're listening to the Matt Bubala Show on Radio 720 WGN.